Our second reading tonight comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on page 107 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, Simon, son of Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in the excellent movie, Babette's Feast, a French woman finds herself mysteriously living in a colony on the coast of Denmark. This colony is led by two sisters whose father was the founder of this pietistic and separatistic colony. They had separated themselves from Denmark as an act of faith to try to preserve the Christian faith as they saw it. But as is often the case with these types of colonies, the people who are living there don't bring any new people in, and they are getting older and grayer, and they find themselves wondering what will become of their colony. Now, one day, as it was to happen, a mysterious woman shows up on a ship with a letter asking for these two sisters to take her in. Turns out that this lady is French. This is Babette. Babette is a refugee of the French Revolution and is fled from Paris for her life and finds herself then living in this colony in Denmark. And the two sisters take her in. And she begins to help them, and she is their maid, their housekeeper. She starts to take the food that they have been making, which is portrayed as being rather dull and boring, and she starts to add ingredients like salt into the menu, bringing in some flavor of things from a garden that they were able to have. And one day, as they are getting used to living with each other, Babette gets this letter in the mail announcing to her that she's won the lottery. And she has received 10,000 francs, which is a sum of money that anybody would want, a sum of money that anybody could live on. And what she announces to the ladies is that she wants to prepare a feast for them and for the neighbors to say thank you for taking her in, to show her and them a sense of gratitude for giving her a place to live. Otherwise, she would have surely come to face death in Paris. And they said, "Well, we will accept this gesture," and they started to talk amongst themselves, figuring that she would make this feast for them, and with her 10,000 francs or whatever she would have left, that she would leave them afterwards and go on their merry way, and they'd go back to being unable to eat what they had grown accustomed to wanting. I can't imagine that what you would do if salt was the upgrade to your menu without a chef, but they had to start facing it. And so Babette goes and she orders all the food that is going to be needed. She makes this list for the shopkeeper, asking for things that he has heard of but never seen, and he gets it delivered to them. It comes on a ship, and the ingredients and the pieces come rolling off the ship one by one. The people in the village start to get curious. They start to get worried. There's all sorts of things they'd never seen before, including a live turtle. I can't make that up. That's what was there. And so she starts to prepare the food and to invite the neighbors, and they all come in one night, and as they had grown to be quite austere in their ways, they sat there looking grumpy, and they sat there looking upset and expecting to have a good time. Well, Babette had prepared a feast for them. Babette had prepared a French feast for them. And course by course, the evening started to progress and the smile started to come. And round by round of drinks, the smiles start getting broader and broader. And I can assure you, they weren't just serving water that night. And by the end of the meal, the colonists of this place had experienced a true French dinner, a true French feast. They had had food like they had never tasted before, and they had enjoyed together a time of celebration like they had in the past but had forgotten how to do. And at the end of the night, there was this sense of great satisfaction and enjoyment, but also this great sense of loss, because they thought Babette was leaving. They assumed that after this swan song of a feast that she would leave them. And they go into the kitchen to say thank you to her. They go in the kitchen to say goodbye to her. And they say, well, we don't know what we're going to do without you. And she looks at them and goes, what do you mean? Well, we know you must be leaving. Well, where would I go? Well, surely you must have somewhere you can go, and surely with the money you have left, you can afford to go wherever you want, and you can start your life over, you can open up a restaurant again. And she looks at them and says, why would I go anywhere, and how could I pay for it? Everything I had, I spent on this dinner to say thank you, to show you how much I love you now. To give you thanks for the safety you have given to me, to give you, say thank you for the ways in which you have welcomed me into your home. And she said, I'm not going anywhere. And the sisters were shocked, and they were amazed. They never had seen such an outpouring of love and self-sacrifice in all their days. And what they had experienced was a gift to them, but not only a gift to them, but a gift to their community as well. Because they had lost a sense of love. They had lost a sense of joy. They had lost a sense of life. And Babette and her feast had helped them find it again. Now, I will admit that I had not seen this movie until about a year ago when we watched it as part of our Lenten series this past year ago. It was a very moving experience to watch the movie, and I commend it to you. I commend it to you for many reasons, but the first and foremost is because to me it is one of the most realistic and most helpful ways to experience the gift of unconditional love. The gift to see what a meal poured out and made in love looks like, and what a meal like that can transform a community, how it can bring people together. Now, I am sure that the parallel between the feast that Babette prepared for those people that day and the commonalities between that meal and the one that Jesus gave to his disciples are not lost on you tonight. What Babette did for those people in that movie is just a glimmer of what Jesus did for the disciples that night and just a foreshadowing of the way in which God has done so much for us. Just as she poured out all that she had into that meal for those people to give them joy and love, Jesus did the same for his disciples and the same for us. Just as the people found their joy and a sense of love in their life again, they were able to do the same thing through Jesus Christ in the meal. We find our joy and we find our love through what Jesus has done for us. Now, at the Last Supper proper, the one that Jesus had with his disciples, it's unclear, at least in Luke, if the disciples totally understood what was going on in the moment. But it is clear that after the fact, they were able to put together the pieces and were able to understand, both the writer of Luke and the Apostle Paul, what Jesus meant, what God meant in that moment. They came to understand what that Last Supper would mean in light of what would come in the day to follow and in the resurrection of a few days later. What it meant for them, as the good Jews that they were, is that the Passover that they had been waiting for, the one that they thought would come in ultimate completion by the Messiah, had been completed in Jesus Christ. Meaning that the expectation that God would pass over the houses, that God would pass over their sins and would bring them back into full communion, had been fulfilled. And that the lamb that was slaughtered at the temple would no longer need to be slaughtered, because the true Paschal lamb, as we believe, who was Jesus, was sacrificed. And so the remembrance that would come of the meal would be a remembrance of what God had done to save the people of Israel in Egypt, but that salvation, that Passover of the first kind, had come into full fulfillment through Jesus. So whenever the disciples then and disciples today, whenever we would eat the bread, a reminder of the unleavened bread from that first Passover, a reminder of the unleavened bread that Jesus and his disciples would have had that night as well, can remind us of the bread of life that is Jesus Christ. And whenever we drink of the cup, they would be reminded of the blood that was shed at that first Passover to put on the doorposts as a symbol of their belonging to God. And then at that Last Supper, a symbol of the cup that Jesus would fill with his blood eventually, so that that blood would never have to be shed again. In this meal, Jesus shows to us his love. And what would come, Jesus makes what God wanted for all of us become real, become something that was available for all people. So when we gather to celebrate this meal, when we gather to remember this meal, whether it's tonight or the next time we gather to celebrate it, we can remember that Jesus poured out everything he had for us so that we would know his love. Jesus would allow his body to be broken for us. And we can remember that Jesus allowed his blood to be shed so that we could have the forgiveness of sins that we would need so the gap between us and God would be gone. It's the beautiful feast that God has given to us to remember the promise that God is with us. It's a beautiful feast that God has given to us so that we can remember also the promise that one day God will come back and make all things right. It may be bread, and it might be a cup, but it means so much. Just as Jesus calls us, let us remember this now and always. Amen.